my eyes water. Onion
eyes. They should make a commercial of that. And like some onion cutting device or something.
Like the chopper. Get the chopper. All right, Brandy. So we have been, before we got here, talking about Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked it, so.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a laugh. I wasn't disappointed because I didn't have like high expectations.
I had no expectations whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. People that are complaining, oh, it's just recycled jokes and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what they do in sequels. Especially sequels that are 20 years old. 30 years old. Like,
yeah, like I truly enjoyed it. I went in with no expectations. I watched it last night. I thought it was funny. I was laughing. The costumes were phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, they were.
They were extra, and I was feeling it. All the hairstyles. I was like, ooh, I want locks. It was a good family movie, and I felt nostalgia. And fucking, what's his name? Louis Anderson ended it again, came back.
Okay. Welcome to McDowell's Zamunda. He was in McDowell's Zamunda.
Yeah.
He wasn't in Brooklyn no more, or Queens.
Mm-hmm. We enjoyed it, and we think you should watch it, and it's on Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hate on it. Oh, and the people are like, some asshole was like, people who like their movies well made are haters. Got it. It's like,
whatever.
Are you a movie? Are you getting paid to shit on a movie? No, you're not a critic? Then shut up.
No.
Like, nobody cares about your opinion.
I think the thing is, maybe, Coming to America came out so long ago before Eddie Murphy was doing all of the Nutty Professors and the Norbits and shit like that.
Yeah, it was when he was doing 48 Hours.
Yeah.
It's not slapsticky.
Exactly. I think he tried to incorporate a tiny bit of it, and I don't think it was necessary, but I still felt like he was Prince Akeem. He carried himself like Prince Akeem, and his thought process was very Prince Akeem to me. And Wesley Snipes, come on, he was the best. Like, he was so funny.
Yeah, he was. It was funny.
All the dancing, he had a kilt on. It was like, this man.
I was like, he's wearing a kilt.
Get after it,
son. Yellow kilt.
All the dancing, Tiana Taylor. I was like, that's Tiana Taylor right there. I know it. That's her.
And TT.
Whatever you like. That's where those women were raised. Thank you for removing the curse that you put on my sister.
The canine curse. The
canine curse.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Look at my sister.
No, she was woo, still jumping up and down,
dude. Anyway, it was a good time. That's what we did this weekend.
My Bopoto.
That was funny.
Bopoto.
Oh my god, I just felt like the oldest daughter. Like, her outfit was like the Jamaican flag.
It was, because I was like, this. Why is Jamaica so much green and yellow?
That's all I was just feeling, but. The outfits were still great. I loved everything.
Yeah, it was a lot of green and yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, okay, we rallying around the flag now.
How was your week?
My week was fine, I guess.
You released your first podcast.
The first episode of the podcast, of Yours in Writing podcast, came out on Monday. Another one will be coming out tomorrow, I guess.
I guess. What the fuck?
If I muster up the energy to edit it. But no, yesterday I was watching a bunch of stuff. And I told you, I watched Tell Me Your Secrets. Oh my god, it's so good. And of course, there has to be a second season because...
It's a season. Okay, it's episodic.
Yeah, because of the way it ended. It's good. Lily Rabe is the main character. And Lily Rabe is from... she was in a lot of the American Horror Story seasons. And what's her name? Amy Brenneman. She's in it. You would know her if you saw her face. But I don't think you know anything that she's been in. She was in that show, Judging Amy, that mom used to watch.
Nope, didn't watch it.
Ugh. And then Hamish Linklater, he's in it.
What is this on?
It's on Amazon.
What's it about?
The short version is Lily Rabe's character. Her name is Karen Miller, but she's going by Emma Hall. She just gets out of prison.
Oh.
She was involved with a serial killer.
Oh, fuck.
Her boyfriend was a serial killer.
Oh.
They both go to prison. She gets out. On early witness protection.
Oh.
She gets out and goes into witness protection because her memories are blocked.
Hmm.
And so she has this strength that's trying to help her get the memories back, because there might be some information that she's not remembering, and he's trying to get her, you know, to remember. Well, she's having like flashes of like events that happened, but they're confusing. They're all jumbled with the present and the past. And so she moves to this town in Louisiana called St. James, where the shrink is from. It's his house that she moves into, but she doesn't know it yet. And there's a bunch of bullshit going on in the town. Mm-mm. So it's all like, you know, getting jumbled in her memories. So she doesn't know what she's actually remembering from then and from what's happening now.
Yeah.
And Amy Brenneman is one of the mothers of a girl that they think is missing. And so she's like, my daughter's not dead. My daughter's not dead. She's not dead. She's missing, but she's not dead. So Amy Brenneman is like trying to go after Emma/Karen, because she's like, you know something, and you know where my daughter is, and you took my daughter. So she sends a rapist after her.
Oh, weird.
To track her down. It's the whole thing is a shit show, but it's so good. It's like such a good, it's a good show. It's a
train wreck, and you cannot divert your eyes.
It's just like, because it shows you the lengths people will go to, and especially like Amy Brenneman's character, she's a bitch. She's a horrible person. And in the end, you see that she really is a horrible person, and she's selfish as fuck.
Yeah.
And just because your daughter's missing doesn't give you the right to do the things you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just fucked up. Her family leaves her because she's a bitch.
Ooh.
Because they find out what she did. So it's just like a whole thing.
That sounds like I would be anxious watching it. I think my stomach would hurt a little bit watching
it. It's a thriller. It's really good, though. It's like so good.
Okay. And it's so called good. Tell Me Your Secrets.
Tell Me Your Secrets, yeah. And then Alan versus Pharaoh.
Oh, you just told me about that. I felt really sick about that. Like, when you were telling me that, I was just like, that's so fucked up. It's so
disturbing.
It's sick.
Yeah. It's disturbing. And it's funny because you, like, the people they interview, they're like, you know, we all loved Woody Allen. You know, Woody Allen was like this. He was this great director, and he's funny, and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, you see, like, that he's actually a monster. And it's just like, And meanwhile, remember when that whole thing happened with Suni, and, like, they got married? He still was making movies, and, like, Mia Farrow at the time had come out and said that he was messing with their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried to, like, put that shit.
Bury it.
Yeah. Like, she brought it up in court, and they tried to fucking squash that shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this, it's like, I guess it's a miniseries on HBO. I guess it's the daughter's opportunity to speak for herself.
Good.
Because she's younger than me.
Mm.
I think she was born in, like, 85.
Okay.
So, or maybe, like, around 84, 85, something like that. So, you know, she's an adult now, and so she's telling her story.
Well into her 30s, yeah.
And it's just like, oof.
That's atrocious. And I feel like as society moves along and we realize all the bullshit that's been going on.
It's people with money.
Uh-huh.
They get away with whatever the fuck they want.
They get away with a lot, a lot, a lot. It's sad. So what did I do this week, you ask?
What did you do? Sunny.
I watched Richard Pryor last night for the first time.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen any of his comedy, and I busted gut the entire time. I was just like, this is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have
it. And it still holds up.
The jokes are solid.
Yeah, they still hold up.
The only things that I was just like a little, when he would reference certain people, and they're like old ass. People. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I think he's dead. That's cool. I get it. But no, it was really good. Me and Jamal laid in bed and laughed our asses off. So I love that. I got to have ladies' night on Friday. I went out and I got to have two Cadillac margaritas. I paid for that in the morning.
You had two Cadillac margaritas.
Yeah.
And then you were like,
I had a hangover. I didn't have a hangover, but my head was just killing me the next day. Mom's like, it's because you had that cheap tequila. And I was like,
what tequila?
Exactly. I was like, I don't know what it said. Like, because like the menus are all virtual and stuff. So I was just like, can I just get a Cadillac margarita? And she's like, oh, well, our special is the blah, 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 blah with the blah, blah. I was like, okay, just give that to me.
Listen, I said give me.
Don't educate me, just give it to me. So, you know, we went out in on Lancaster Boulevard and...
So what's over here? Is nothing? Is it gone?
I don't think anything's there.
Okay.
I don't think anything's there at all. I mean, other than that, I fucking made it through the week, dude. Like
exactly. So I wanted to do Pit Mad, but I hadn't gotten my sample chapters done because when you're writing sample chapters with very limited information, it's kind of difficult to do.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get in touch with one of the detectives from the former detective who was the interim police chief for like literally a week before he stepped down.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, trying to get in touch with him. There's this guy on Twitter that did a podcast interview with him. I was like, hey, you've got his contact info. I need it. He's like, okay, well, I'll ask him if he's comfortable with me giving you his phone number. I was just like, I hate having to talk to him. And the guy has no social media. I mean, he was a cop. So I guess he's like, I'm not
interested.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flakes.
And this is
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's Bulp, bitches.
Yes, it is. And hello, welcome to the listeners. Thank you guys for being here. If you're hearing this, you're a listener. Ha! Thank you. Thank you for listening. Ha! Gotcha. Definitely connect with us on social. Meet us on Twitter at Book of Lives Pod, Instagram and Facebook at Book of Lives Podcast. Join us on Patreon. You get commercial-free episodes, early swag. I'm working on a new sticker design.
And whatever else we may have offered you on the internet, definitely check that out.
On the internet. You can visit our website at bookoflivespodcast.com. We got some recent reviews, and thank you guys so much for going out and taking the time and leaving us a review. It really helps. We really appreciate you, and a thank you. Girl, like, it's already the first week of March. It's over.
I know.
It's over. Time does not slow down. I've had my chickens for a year already.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I saw the notification on Facebook. They were in this very room, shooting up the storm, just... They're addicting. Once they start laying eggs, you're like, ooh, I could do with more eggs.
I need eggs. Give me all the eggs.
More eggs. Okay, so I'll tell you guys what we're talking about today. Shout out to the ladies over at Murder, Murder News. They sent us a message regarding this topic that we're going to discuss today. And just want to give them a shout out. Check them out. And today we are going to talk about the film Made You Look. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a true story about fake art.
Oh, wait. No, that's Big Eyes. What? Made You Look.
It's called Made You Look.
Uh-huh.
And it's on Netflix.
When did it come out?
Recently. Like last month it came out.
Oh, last month. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I watched this movie and I went in it just to like kind of see, you know, what it was about. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is very interesting. This is definitely right up our alley. So thank you, ladies, for sending this our way. But we're going to talk about it. And I'm just going to, it's so hard to kind of go into it, but there's a lot of parts in here. So in the documentary. It's a documentary. Yes.
Okay, so no, I definitely haven't seen it then.
It's a documentary about some bullshit that went on in New York. It's a place called Noether Art Gallery. And the place was over 160 years old, this institution. Even J.P. Morgan had owned stock in it for a while. And, you know, rich people own galleries and buy art. And the art scene is very elite.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very small. Like, it's a small group of people.
And they all own all the art.
They own all of the art.
Yeah. And it's hard to, like... If you're, like, a novice, like, especially coming from L.A. and you don't know anybody, you go over there trying to buy art and you're, like, basically going to just be...
Laughed at,
be outbid. You have to know people in the art scene just to even try to get into it.
Yeah, it's very boys club. It's very pretentious.
Yeah.
very pretentious. I think that's how this happened because...
It's like the wine thing. Like
this is exactly what I related to. What's his name? Jimmy. What was his name?
Rudy Kernia-Wan.
Yeah. The wine fraud one that we did. I meant to look up the episode. Why?
Ooh, hang on a second.
Somebody just sent me 9 messages on fucking Facebook Messenger. Why? From the same person.
It's probably a one long message.
I want to tell you guys what episode number the wine fraud is so you guys could check that out. That was a good one. That was a good episode too. My phone hates me. Ah, here it is. Rudy K's Wine Fraud. Episode 24.
Oh, okay.
It was definitely still in our first year. I do compare this to that in the pretentiousness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, it's real. But it is.
So at the whole heart of the fraud is art by these expressionist artists or whatever. And Jackson Pollock, Robert Motherwell, Mark Rothko, and Canoan or some shit like that. But those three were the main ones of the art that people were like losing their shit about. They're like the expressionist arts.
Like what time period or what time frame is
they that? They were painting like in the 40s and the 50s.
No, what time frame was this happening?
This happens between the period of 1995 to 2000. Everything was finished in 2016.
Okay.
So there was a lot of fuckery going on for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's strange. The fraud, the way it happened, it was very calculated. And the people who initiated it and ran it, they knew who they were dealing with and they were very slick about it. So at this time... In 1995, this is when the situation happens. This woman by the name of Anne Friedman, she is like the director and president of Knoedler Art Gallery. And she's been on the art scene for years. Like they all fucking know each other. Oh, I'm going to call Tim over at Authenticity or, oh, you know, the person that writes the resumes for the Rothko Foundation and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like it's, everybody knows each other and everybody... I feel like everybody is scratching each other's backs, too.
Of course they are.
And so Anne Friedman, she works for this art gallery. It's well-known. She was introduced by an employee that was there. She was introduced by this woman by the name of Glafiria Rosales. And she was a friend of an employee there who she trusted.
Glafiria.
Glafiria.
What kind of fucking name is that?
Rosales is her name. Uh-huh. Anyway. So she's introduced to this woman and, like, you know, they have an introduction and then Glafiria starts buying art. She starts showing up at shows and blah, blah, blah. So then Glafiria is like, hey, Anne, I have a client. Like, you know, I have a client who has a bunch of art, expressionist arts from these artists, Pollock, Rothko, Motherwell. I have a bunch of art that the person I represent bought. I can't tell you his name. I have a disclosure. I've signed something, so I can't tell you who they are.
It's a secret buyer.
It's my secret buyer. But I want to show you some of the work and, you know, see if maybe you could help us sell it because the person that I represent, he doesn't really care about this art. He doesn't give a fuck about it. But, you know, his grandfather bought it and, you know, we just need it out of here. And so Anne comes over and is very excited about this art. And she's like, okay. She sees it and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a Rothko. She like looks at the signature and the date and she's like, this shit is sick. It looks good. And she asks Glafiria about the provenance. That's what it's called. You know, tell me about the history of this painting.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I can't tell you his name, but you know, the grandson has the art now, which was passed down by the grandfather. The grandfather knew Bob, who was friends with the artist Rothko. They needed money. They were starving artists. They sold a bunch of pieces.
Uh-huh. To the same person.
To them. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Dirt cheap. $10,000. Fuck you. $10,000 in the 60s. That's expensive. And so she tells this story of how it, you know, traveled from Europe to Mexico to blah, blah, blah. And Anne is eating it up because the piece of work that she saw, everybody that saw it, they were like, oh, it's beautiful. It's breathtaking.
And was it a dot on a fucking canvas?
It was like two squares on top of each other. One red, one black.
Yeah.
And people, it's breathtaking. I fell in love with it. And this woman's like, I don't fall in love, but I do fall in love with art. So they fucking want to fuck the painting, pretty much.
It's,
I mean, art touches you.
It's subjective.
It really is. But she saw it and she's like, this is done just like this artist. She hears this story. So she thinks she's hit a fucking well. Because like we said, all the rich people own all the art.
Right.
There's no more pieces of work from these artists. Uh-huh. So she's like, oh my God, I just found a discovery of all this art and I'm going to be rich. She doesn't say this. But this is what...
This is what she's thinking.
This is what she's thinking.
She's like, cha-ching!
So she wanted to believe that it was real.
That, yeah.
That the story that she's being fed is true.
Of course. Because... As if she's a professional art dealer or a professional.
She should know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She should think in her head, okay, first of all, this is like a once in a lifetime discovery, number one. Number two, do I believe that this person, all of these artists, because it's not just him, right? It's a bunch of artists.
It's like five or six different artists.
Five artists all sold art to this one person.
Yeah.
And now he's got a collection.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever seen it.
Exactly. Yeah, yep, yep.
You have to fucking be skeptical and you have to like put your fucking like your thinking hat on, sweetie, and be like, I'm probably being duped.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think you're going to come into some money, you want to believe that shit.
Exactly.
I have a sandbox in the Sahara to sell you if that's what you think.
Well, she did and she did. And so she just is enamored with it. And she's like, it's just like the work that he's done.
This because it's a square on top of a square.
It's definitely.
I want to fuck it.
An undiscovered. She didn't say that. But
I know, but I'm just saying like, I have never seen like art. Okay. There are beautiful, beautiful works of art that I'm just like, wow, it's breathtaking. Like, you know, can bring me to tears, but shapes aren't one of them. Right. I'm not into it because I can make shapes. My child can make shapes.
Yeah.
I don't care about shapes. Mm-hmm. I don't care about paint splatter on canvas.
There's going to be a bunch of paint splatter soon.
Jackson Pollock and his paint splatter canvases.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's not something that I'm like, oh, I have to have it. I'm going to go home and splatter some fucking paint and make
it. Because I was like, my baby got some time. My baby, I got pieces of work on the wall for her now. I need to start documenting this shit so when we get the provenance, you can know it was on my wall for a few years, okay? I'm building validity. But anyway, so she believes the story.
Okay.
She's like, hook, line, and sinker. I'm fucking in, right? Let me see. Let me get to my notes because this was just off the cuff.
And look, your notes are handwritten today.
They are handwritten today. Guys, I mix it up every week. Okay, so this film was directed by Barry Averick. It was a film produced by Barry Averick and directed by Barry Averick. Okay, so from 1995 to 2006, she's selling two pieces of art a year. Dude, you got to find, you know, big bang tanks, right? Yeah. She's selling about two every year. Throughout the whole facade, they push off 60 pieces of art worth $80 million.
Who does?
Nodler buys it from Rosales.
The gallery.
The gallery buys it from her. The woman, believing the story. Oh, I've got a Pollock. I've got a
Hanko.
Rothko or Motherwell. Like all this shit. Uh-huh. So she's selling the art. They make $80 million. But here's the breakdown. It's just nasty because they were saying that the profit margins that they were making were just to 200 to 800% markup. They would buy a piece of art for like $600,000 and turn around and sell it for like $5 million.
Were they selling it at auction or they were selling it directly to a buyer?
They were selling it directly to museums. Uh-huh. They were selling it to other galleries. They were selling it to personal buyers. One of the people that bought he's the chairman of Sotheby's.
Oh, God.
And fucking Tom Ford. And his name's Domenico De Sole. He was like, I'm not having this shit. He was just like, I'm going to sue you. Uh-huh. Because you're trying to make a mockery of me. I don't play that. We're going to talk about them. But Anne believes that they're real. She's reaching out to friends, like I said. Because, okay, so we're looking into the provenance of the Rothko or any of these images, right? Uh-huh. There's no documented images of them in any of the books. The Raisonnés of Rothko have all of his documented works of art. It's a book that proves, like, you know, This is what it is. It's a catalog of every work of art that he's done. Mm-hmm. She reaches out to her homeboy and she's like, hey, I've discovered this new Rothko. Would you have a look at it? So she may have sent a picture. I don't think the fool came out and saw her, but she said she did reach out to him. Because
I reached out. That doesn't mean he followed up.
But right. Okay. But no, he followed up and was like, from everything that I'm seeing, this is a fit for Rothko's work, like his style in the period and blah, blah, blah. This is a Rothko. So they certify it, stamp it on there.
So they didn't actually. Okay. So he's like, it looks like it. So yeah, it is.
Yes. And he was a quote unquote expert.
If it walks like a duck and quack like a duck, it's a duck.
Yes.
Motherfucker, that ain't no duck. That's a goose.
She gets all of her friends to, like, pretty much say, yes, this is it. And technically authenticate it. She got it published in the Resume for Rothko. People are like, oh, this is great. They're, like, publishing it in, like, magazines and works of art, the piece of work. So that makes it more valid.
Right.
Right? And so people are like, well, it's here, it's there. Why wouldn't it be valid?
Yeah.
Anyway, $80 million, right? Markups, all kinds of things. Okay. All the people that we're talking to in the documentary, they're the lawyers. So they're the lawyers from, like, the different people that were involved in the court cases. The DA, the lawyer for the defense, the lawyer for the prosecution. A story was broken in the LA Times. So the LA Times writers that were following the case. And so they're all just kind of talking in on this. On this situation. And they're saying, like, you know, Anne Friedman was either gullible and dumb or she was involved. They all say that.
She's either gullible or dumb or was involved.
Right. Because.
Well, I think she was involved, but whatever. Or super gullible.
I think it was a lot of that. It was a lot of that. So the Desolés, they end up buying the Rothko painting, right? The one.
The squares.
The squares. They bought the painting for $8.3 million. Mm. $8.3 million. What they do is they then, you know, allow other museums and stuff to show it and have it displayed. So they're like, this picture was out there. People were looking at it. There was no hiding it. So that's what Anne's like, you know, we weren't trying to hide anything. It's here in her relationship with Glaphyria. Like, they're staying cool with each other. And she's just casually, you know, bringing in pictures, you know, twice a year.
Paintings.
Uh-huh. Because this was a long game as well.
Of course it is. I'm going to try to fucking drag this out as long as I can so I can make as much money as I can. Mm-hmm. And as long as you guys keep believing what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and I'm bringing you something that you believe is to be valuable,
yeah.
I'm just going to keep doing it.
Well, and then also to these people, it's like, hey, all of these artists' works of art are unlock. They're already sold. They're already in places.
Yeah.
So we found a new well, and we are even more likely to go ahead and snatch it up really quick so we can have it. Mm. But there was a lot of people that had questions. They looked at the pieces of art. They're like, yes, no, maybe so. I don't know. This one buyer of a piece of art, he bought a piece of work for like $2 million. And he was like, well, if I'm going to buy this, I want to have it tested by my own people, and if it doesn't come back right, I want my money back. I want to send it to IFAR to have it evaluated, and they do the evaluation for authentication. And so this woman, she's talking as well. So it's all these people that were involved with these paintings. She was like, what they discovered is that there was like new paint on old canvases, and that they compared a picture that was done supposedly the same year to the picture that they had, or the piece of art that they had, and it was aging differently. Like, the authentic one or the real one was super old, like faded paint, and the other one was very bright and vibrant.
It was like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be the fake one. So then they wrote back to their client, the one that wanted it, submitted it to IFAR, and they're like, hey, we can't authenticate. They can't say, hey, this is a legit picture. But they were like, it's inconclusive. And they were like, and in our group, if we can't authenticate, it's not real.
I would not pay for any of these.
It's pretentious art.
I will go and do this right now at my house. And then I'll come back to you and say $800. And it's much cheaper than a million.
Or 8 million.
Exactly.
So this was the first time that it was sent to be tested and it didn't pass the test. And I guess during the time, Anne was just like, this woman's about this bullshit. Like, why does she not believe that this picture is real? This is the story behind it. Anytime someone would question her, she would then talk about, you know, where it came from and blah, 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 blah. But then they were like, hey, the province story that you've given us, this that it was sold here to this person, blah, 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 for cheap. This doesn't jive because they also do the province check. And she was like, well, they said that Rothko was a fucking rock star back then. There's no way he would have sold his pictures for hella cheap and not had a bill of sale and a way to track it based on the story that you're telling us.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't jive.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to Glafiria. Glafiria, 3 weeks later, there's a different story. They're like, oh, wait. The person that you don't know who he is, he was actually gay. And then, you know, he was hanging out with this guy who was a known art dealer who knew Motherwell. You know, they would just construct a different fucking story to try and keep
obfuscate the situation.
The wheel going.
Right.
And Anne would eat it up, hook, line, and sinker. This bitch was making $300,000 a year in 1998. She got a raise from like $250,000 to $300,000 a year. And she was making up of $10 million off commissions of the pictures that she had sold. The art and all the stuff that she was selling was keeping her company afloat, apparently. Uh-huh. Apparently their books were looking real wonky-do. And this fraud kept it afloat. And that's why they kind of think that she was involved as well.
Because they're like, well, this basically saved your company, so how could you not be involved?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was another painting involved regarding Motherwell, and then another organization got involved, and they were just like, we need you to do your research. Your shit's coming up wonky. It's not right. Figure it out. And then
we need you to do your research.
It's because they were like, it's the shit's coming up fraud. We sent it to this place to have a forensic test done, and it's coming back with all these materials that did not exist when these pictures should have been created. So then they go ahead and investigate Glafiria Rosales.
Uh-huh.
They find out that she's living with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is a well-known art trafficker and fraudster internationally.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that sounds fun.
That sounds exciting, right? So her boo-thang gets down in this industry.
Yeah.
Right? And his name, Jose Carlos Bergantinos Diaz. And he is the mastermind behind the whole shenanigans. And what happens is, so he's interviewing. He's on camera. But he's on camera in Spain.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, I don't need to go back to America. I'm cool.
Yeah. You know, would I want to do that?
I'm good here. So he said what he had done, like he found a street artist. And the street artist's name was Pei Shen Kuang, a 75-year-old math teacher, a well-known painter in China, comes to the United States, and he can't get no bread for nothing. They ain't trying to hire him. They don't care about him.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I'll just be a math teacher and, you know, sell my paintings on the street, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And Jose sees them, and apparently where this guy studied, they study the arts and the techniques of many artists.
Right.
And he studied the expressionist artists, Rothko, Motherwell.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm going. And so he hires him to paint all these pictures. He gets the old canvases and he's like, hey, I need you to paint this stuff. And he forged the signature. He put the date on it. And he would give the piece of the canvas or the art to Jose. Jose would then go through a process of making it look older.
Aging it.
Mm-hmm. He would find the right framing for it that was around the right time. And he did everything he could do to make that shit look real.
Yeah, this is basically like, can you ever forgive me? Like, I'm aging the paper.
Yes.
I'm doing all the shit.
She found, right?
Yeah.
And so
I'm getting the right typewriter to type the shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patience, like, I can't believe they believed it was real. I can't believe this worked. Because he thought he was just selling to Jose and was just like, hey, because he was like, I sell art to people when they want it on their wall. Uh-huh. Like, you know, I copy other artists for rich people who want it on their walls, pretty much.
Yeah.
So he didn't know what he was doing. But he happened to be, like, checking something out, and he saw, like, a booth from Nodler, the gallery, and they had his piece of art up there. He was like, these niggas, y'all need to give me some more money. So he goes back to Glaferia and is like, hey, you need to cash me out some more money. So apparently he got more money. And
I'm coming clean, and I'm telling everybody what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't. There was another person by the name of, what was his name? Jack Flam. Mr. Flim Flam.
Okay, that sounds about right.
He knew Anne Friedman as well, and he worked for the Motherwell Foundation. And so I think it was like a higher up in his company was like, hey, I just got this new Motherwell. It's fucking sick, dude. It's a discovery. And he's like, where'd you get it from? Where'd you get it? He got it from Glaferia Rosales. Uh-huh. And he's like, son of a bitch. Looks it up and he's like, this shit's fake. He goes to Anne. He's like, Anne, you got some other whales? Yeah, yeah, they're amazing. They're immaculate. I can't believe I just found it. He's like, ah, they're probably fake. And she's like, fuck you, dude. They're not fucking fake. Fuck off. And he's like, girl, it's fake. Like, come on. You need to listen to reason. Uh-huh. We've done all this stuff, and 100% yours are fraud, too. And she's just like, no, I don't believe you. You know, what about this, 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 this? So he's like, okay, I'm calling the FBI.
Oh, damn.
He calls the FBI. And she was like, he called the FBI. He didn't come and talk to me about it.
He told you he was going to call the FBI.
He didn't say that. He didn't tell her.
Oh, he didn't say
that. But he was like, what was I supposed to say to her? I'm calling the FBI.
Yes. Maybe she'll be like, okay, let's have a discussion or something.
Before she was like, let's have a discussion. He's like, you're not listening to reason. And he knew that there was a huge art fraud going on because there's millions of dollars involved here. Mm-hmm. And everybody had questions and there was thoughts in the back of people's heads about the legitimacy of this treasure trove of, you know, masterpieces from these amazing artists.
These artists were dead now, so they can't even say, hey, that ain't my shit.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And so he calls the FBI. They go to work, pretty much. They arrest Glaferia Rosales. Mm.
So she's here and her boyfriend's in Spain.
He was in Spain. When the FBI announced that they were investigating Nodler closed their doors after like 165 years in operation. 165 years. And then the guy who was making the art, he lived in Queens. They're like, we're surprised to find out that these, you know, works of art would be made in Queens in someone's garage.
Someone's garage.
Yeah. So as the FBI is investigating, and Friedman, is that her name? She gets fired from Nodler. They're like, hey, girl, you need to take a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? They're like, yeah, just tell people, I don't know, your lung cancer came back.
She had lung cancer?
I guess.
Oh, my God.
That was the first time I was hearing about it. Just tell me your lung cancer came back and you gotta get out of here.
Okay? Yeah, I'm not saying that.
So they were trying to distance themselves from her, mm-hmm. pretty much. They got rid of her. That was it. Like, that's all she wanted to do. Was like, she was like, you don't have to pay me. I can stay here, you know, work for free, you know.
It was her, yeah, it was like, she was like Charlotte on fucking Sex and the City when she worked at a gallery. And then after she got married, nobody would hire her and she had to docent. Which is working for free, being a volunteer. At the gallery.
Well, that's a bummer. So once the FBI starts investigating, they get a hold of Glaferia. She rolls over.
It was my boyfriend.
He did it. You know, and they announce that there's a huge fraud in the art world. And everybody's embarrassed. And so then everybody who had bought from Nodler, they're like, we're suing you.
Yeah.
So then they have 10 cases, 10 lawsuits filed against them. Mm. Because they sold to like huge institutions. But the question at like the end of the day with the documentary was like, was Anne involved? I don't personally think Anne was involved. I think she was just so super bright-eyed and wanted to believe anything that was sold to her.
How old was she?
She was like well into like her 60s, like 65, white-haired, you know, big blue eyes, but like kind of, she always like wore gray. And, you know, she
was like somebody's grandma.
Yeah, she could have been someone's grandma. Like, she was older than mom.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 70. Maybe she was 70.
Maybe 70.
Maybe she was 70. I don't know. So, Glafiria tells him the story, like, you know, who did it, how it was done. And apparently, like, Glafiria tried to sell art direct, like, from herself. Like, you know, just, oh, hey, I've got this. And people were like, fuck you, bitch. Get out of here. And they targeted Anne because of her position and that she took the bait, pretty much. And she sold it to all these rich white people. Right? So they had 10 cases. 9 of them settled out of court. 1 didn't. And that was Mr. Désolé. Mr. Sotheby's and Tom Ford.
It's Sotheby's. Sotheby's does an auction. Like, you cannot get into the Sotheby's auction without a fucking invitation. Like, they're elite. Like, to the point of, like, being a fucking secret society.
Yeah, so in 2013, this is when Glafiria got arrested. In 2009 is when the guy, Jack Flam, was like, hey, dude, the report states it's fake. You know, listen to reason. He's like, I'm calling the FBI. So from 2009,
I'm calling the FBI.
4 years later, they're able to arrest Glafiria. And they were able to kind of charge her on tax charges. They had to prove.
Yeah, like, what is the law against art fraud?
Well, they had to prove that she was, because she still was trying to sing this song that she had a client that she was selling to. And they're like, if you did have a client that was selling to, you know, your bank records will prove it. So when Knoedler paid her, it went directly into a bank account in Spain that she shared with her boo-boo. And then they found that no money was given to any other party. Like, apparently she's supposed to get 10% as, like, the broker. She got 100%. And then she didn't pay taxes or report the bank accounts. So they were like, we're going to take you up on tax charges, bitch. And she's like, oh, well, shit.
So she was trying to say that she had a client that she was selling this art to?
Yeah.
Oh, she was selling the art for the client.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so she, in other words, I didn't, this is not my fault, it's fake. I didn't know, I was just selling it for this guy.
Okay. Right, exactly. Mm. Until it's like, you lying whore, you guys are keeping the money.
Yeah.
So, they take her up on charges. She got hit with, like, time served. She did, like, a couple of months. But they're like, we're not just going to hold you accountable because there was a whole other operation going on. You're the only one that's in the U.S. that we could actually charge.
Yeah.
So, man, they took all of her fucking shit. They made her sell her stuff.
All of her shit.
Yeah, they're like, restitution, how, like, you know, we need this money back some shape, way, or form. Back to the last case. So, the guy's name was Domenico Désolé. Mr. Tom Ford and Sotheby's. And they were just trying to prove that Anne knew it was fucking fake.
So they're, okay.
They wanted to hold Anne and Knoedler accountable because they're like, we know you lied and we know you know it was fake.
You know what? There's this thing that happens with people when they feel like you've done them wrong, even though like you might have literally been, like, you're the wife and you don't know shit.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, you know something. You did this. You did this on purpose. You did this to me. I'm blaming you, regardless of what the truth is. Like, the truth is you don't know shit, but they're convinced. In their minds, they're convinced that you know that you did it and that you made a fool of them on purpose. So now they want to come after you and your livelihood and your family. That's what's messed up about things like this and situations, period. Like, people want somebody to blame because they want you to be the one that did it to them. Not that they did it to themselves. Not that they didn't, you know, get this shit verified themselves or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to blame somebody. So I'm going to, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened. You know, you did it. You.
You did it. So they're up in court, you know, kind of battling it out or whatever. And that's when the, like, the books come into account, how the fraud was keeping the doors open at this organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the $300,000 that old girl was making, the commissions that she was making.
Right.
But fortunately, like, Anne was emailing these people and having conversation with them. and, you know,
this, about this art,
about this art. And they were authenticating, you know, with her. Uh-huh. And then when they were on the stand, they're like, no, we didn't say that. That didn't happen. And she's like,
but they don't want to look dumb.
I got it. Exactly. Because it's like, oh, I, you know,
well, we don't really do our jobs over here. We just say shit and just let it go.
Exactly. Yeah. So, pretty much they end up settling out of court finally. They didn't say what the total amount was, but they were just like, you know, bitch, we're not just going to let you get over on us. You're not going to make a mockery of us.
So,
and they settled out of court. So Anne got off. She didn't go to jail or there was no criminal charges. And she really believed that the fucking shit was real.
She still believes that?
No, not anymore. Oh, but okay. She was one of those deny it till you die bitches. Like, I know it was real, but it wasn't. Get over it. But there was another person who was like, I'm coming for you. It was a guy who was trying to sell a piece of art. Like, him and his wife got divorced and he had bought a piece of work for $17 million. And he was trying to sell it, and Sotheby's was like, get that filth out of here. We're not, no, we know about that. And he was like, excuse me? He was pissed. Like, he was just like, I'm going to cut your fucking head off. He's like, I'm going to set you on fire. I'm going to ruin your life.
Like, is he a gangster?
No, he was like some crazy French guy. Like, you know, they get all passionate about stuff. It was interesting. I watched it twice on just the level of the fraud and how it happened, and just, it's not easy getting rich people's money, but when you get it, they mad about it.
they want some high ticket shit.
Yep.
And they want stuff that nobody else has.
Yeah.
That's the problem with wealthy people. They want stuff that nobody else has. And then when they get it and they find out it's not worth what they thought it was worth, they're pissed.
They're pissed. Exactly. They're like, no.
Yeah. Look, come down to my level. You can, we can go to Ross and get some pieces of art.
$12.99, bitch. Okay. Yes.
They're very pretty.
Pretty. It's so pretty.
It's pretty.
No, but it was an interesting story. And I thought about Rudy K and his shit and just like the pretentiousness of it. Apparently there was a point in the courtroom, and they're like, oh, is this picture upside down? Is it supposed to be this way? Is it supposed to be that way? And then one guy's like, it's fake.
Yeah, who,
like,
cares?
Who it's fucking fake. Cares? Tools.
Exactly.
Man. All right, so do you have a thumbs up for the week?
My thumbs up for the week is self-care.
Yeah. Let's get a pedicure.
Why are you whispering?
I want to get my toes done. No, but yeah, let's check. You want to get pedicures? I want to get a pedicure.
Possibly.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah. What's your thumbs up?
I feel like spring is almost here.
It's like, you know what it is? It's fucking with us.
It's freaking,
it's like, oh, look, it's 72 today. Ah, bitch, sorry, it's 58 today.
Is that a turtle head? It's a turtle head. There's a turtle head popping out. I feel like that's what spring's doing to us.
Yeah, because the other day it was so nice. It was 70, like 72, 75-ish.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain this week.
So nice. And then, yeah. Then we get that.
We'll see what happens. I'm getting my backyard cleaned up. I'm like, pretty much, I've got everything pretty much planned and locked in for the class reunion.
It's in 3 months?
Yeah, June. So I'm really excited about that. And I just need to find the food vendor and think about, like, decoration. Not decoration.
Are you going to get a food truck or are you going to get, like, just somebody to bring food. Like,
I'm just probably going to find someone to bring food.
Or like, because you know how they do like the tacos and the somebody over there on the side cooking.
Yeah, I feel cheated by the taco truck, the tacos, because I don't eat meat.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's not all about me, but I want it to be about me.
Rice and beans.
I'll probably end up doing Mexican food, but I'm not doing a taco guy. But I'm working on that, and it's going good, so I'm just getting my shit in order. I mean, other than that, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. If you aren't, please subscribe. Come back. Visit us again. We'll bring you more fun stuff. Right?
Sure.
Right.
But there's that Don Poncho right there. Right, he lives right around the corner.
I know, huh? I'm like, can you just pull up to the house, bruh? Bruh, pull up to the house. Hey, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flakes.
And this is
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
And Let's Bulb, bitches.